stepped up to make a huge difference. Just let your minds wander a few minutes as we think about Christopher Columbus. What if he had not defied popular science and common sense to bravely set out to sail in search of a new world? A journey that, of course, brought us our nation, America. He made a difference. Or think about our founding fathers of that nation, the men who risked their life and limb to both boldly declare our independence and to fight against great odds to gain our precious freedom. These men and women made a difference. Imagine what our world would be like if Henry Ford and others like him had not worked hard and long to bring us the automotive mass production line so that we could have affordable cars and thousands of workers could have high-paying jobs. They made a difference. We know how important the courageous actions of heroes like Rosa Parks, Jackie Robinson, Martin Luther King Jr., and a host of others were in bringing about the drastically needed changes in our nation for race relations, equality, and human rights. They made a difference. Although he was a few years older than me, Danny Nation was a childhood friend of mine at church. Danny was one of the unfortunate children who contracted polio, the same disease that took the life of President Franklin Roosevelt. But thankfully, Dr. Jonas Salk invested himself in leading the effort to find a vaccine to prevent the dreaded disease, which today has practically disappeared. His work made a difference. The sports fans among us must just have to appreciate the work of both James Naismith, who brought us the game of basketball, amen, and Abner Doubleday, who brought us the game of baseball. You can't turn on the TV without seeing that their contributions have made a difference. And of course, we all know the difference that the people who led us to Christ have made in our lives. I think we need to bless God for them. Don't you agree? I think we need to recognize them and thank God for them. Yes. Thank God for those people. As we recognize those people, I just want you to note that some of you who were clapping for the people who brought you to Christ, many of you were the same people being clapped for because you brought others to Christ. A difference was made because Jesus was introduced. Turning our attention to the pages of the Bible, we think about Bible characters who made a difference. And as I thought about this, I was drawn to Elisha, the prophet and servant of God who followed the great Elijah. We're going to look at 2 Kings today from the Old Testament, that book. And we're going to consider some of the things that Elisha did to make a difference. And in doing this, I simply hope to point out to you that making a difference is as easy as pie. Making a difference is as easy as pie. P-I-E. Preparation, implementation, and emulation. We can be like Elisha, and make a difference. And friends, when we came to Christ, this is exactly what we signed up to do. You see, Elisha first prepared himself to be God's servant and messenger. And in preparation, he took two important steps or actions. First, Elijah demonstrated his loyalty and his commitment to his mentor, Elijah. He stayed close to him and stayed near him, even as time drew near for Elijah to depart and leave this world. Numerous times Elijah told Elisha, "You're free to go." He not only gave him permission, but he encouraged him to go his own way. But Elisha knew it was in his best interest to stay close to his mentor Elijah. So he refused to go. He stayed near this mighty man of God, and he continued to learn from him in his life of faith and service. There's a lesson for us if we want to make a difference. And that is that we need to constantly surround ourselves with other godly men and women and be open to all that God may want to teach us and show us through their presence in our lives. Just before Elijah's dramatic departure to eternity, you remember the story of the whirlwind and the chariot. Elijah asked Elisha how he could help or bless him. And in a moment of great spiritual maturity, Elisha asked God to prepare him further by giving him a double portion of Elijah's spirit. From this, we learn that our preparation needs to be marked by also asking God, praying for wisdom, praying for His power to be at work through us to bless others. So Elisha made a difference by preparing himself, preparation. After these and other steps of preparation, Elijah then moved to the necessary step of implementation, the I and the pi. He thought about what he could do to make a difference for others. He knew that the first thing he needed to do to accomplish this was that he himself be open and willing to do what God would have him do. He determined that he wanted to be a man that God would use, and then he implemented a plan to bless others and to make a difference. As you look at his plan of implementation, you see that it seemed to have one common thread, and that was this. He lived every day with a focus not on himself and his wants, but rather on what was important and really mattered to others. What a huge step for Elisha. What a huge step for you and I as well to follow. You see, in order to do this, we need to step outside of ourselves and look around and listen to other people to discover what matters to them and understand these things represent areas in life where we can do something to make a difference in theirs. Again, as we look at the book of 2 Kings, we're going to take a very quick look at four examples from Elisha's life that showed us how he focused on other people's needs and concerns, figuring out what was important to them and putting himself in a position to make a difference. We first look at chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. And we see that Elisha focused on matters of great importance and concern for the widow who had two sons. These two sons were about to be removed from her home and taken to debtor's prison because there was no money in the house to pay the bills. This greatly concerned her. These were issues of daily sustenance and survival. They mattered a lot to her. And so when Elisha learned of her need and her desperation over the possibility of losing her sons, he asked her about what she had at home to provide for her family. She reported that all she had was a little bit of oil in the cupboard, and that when that was gone, there would be nothing else. Led by God, Elisha instructed her to gather all the vessels, all the containers she possibly could, and then take those and go into the privacy of her home. With her son's help, she did just that. She collected all the available jars until there were no more to collect. And then, as Elisha had instructed her, she then began pouring from that meager portion of oil that was left in her cupboard into another jar. And the jar filled up. And she poured into another, and it filled up, and another, and it filled up. When she filled the last jar she saw, she asked her sons for more jars. But they told her they had no more jars. And then the oil stopped flowing. Elisha told her to then sell all the surplus oil and use those monies to pay her debts and keep her family intact and her sons out of the debtor prison. Do we understand what a crucial need and worry this was for this woman? Her family was in desperate straits. Her very existence and life were being threatened. Do you and I know people in similar circumstances? I believe we do. And we need to adopt the attitude that says, if it's important to them, it's important to us. We can find a way to make a difference. Skip forward to chapter 6 and begin again at verse 1. We find Elisha responding to the needs of a working man who was out cutting down trees with a borrowed axe. Now, why would this man have to borrow an axe? Probably because he could not afford his own. And in the tree cutting process, the head of the borrowed axe flew off its handle, landed in the water where it disappeared from sight and sank to the bottom. The axe head was lost. He was responsible for this borrowed property. It was certainly a financial concern because he probably couldn't afford to buy a replacement. It was also a concern for his reputation and his trustworthiness. This man thought if he could not be trusted to return borrowed property, then who would trust him in anything else? The missing axe head was a big deal to the man. And Elisha sensed his trouble. Immediately asked where the axe head had entered the water and was shown where by the man. The Bible tells us that Elisha cut his own stick, put it in the water, and the axe head miraculously floated back to the surface where the man reached out and took it and safely retrieved it. Now we might tend to think, what's the big deal about an axe head? Well, got to remember that in Old Testament time there was no Sears, there was no Menards, and there were probably no pieces of plastic in the wallet to go get a new one. Again, I ask, do we know people facing similar circumstances? I think we would shake our head yes. And so now we need to look around, we need to listen, and see the similar social and emotional needs in the people around us, and know that it's time to make a difference. We go back to chapter 4 of 2 Kings, and we see here Elijah focusing on the matter of another family and something very important to them. In all his travels, Elijah built a connection with a family from Shunem. This family, out of respect for Elijah, soon built and furnished a rooftop room for him to stay in anytime he passed through their town. In gratitude for their kindness, Elisha asked them how he could help them. He found out they had no children and they desperately wanted children. And Elisha then promised that by the end of the next year they would have a child, and a son was soon born to them. Sadly, however, just a few years into life, that child became very ill and died. The death of her young son, the woman called for Elisha and she expressed to him her sadness. Why did you do this, Elijah? I never really asked for a child. And now I not only have to face the sorrow and grief of his death. Elijah felt her pain, and he responded by bringing the boy back to life, restoring him to his family. Elisha found a way to get involved and to bless them and bring them joy. Now you might be out there thinking, I can't arrange a baby, or I can't bring the dead back to life. And we're probably right in that thinking. But there are many other matters of the heart in the people that you and I know. There are hurting people all around us. These people work with us. They go to school with us. They have kids on the same teams as we do. They live in our neighborhoods. Friends, they even fill the same pews that you and I do Sunday after Sunday. It's time for us to do what we can to respond to their needs, and with God's help, bring the restoration they need to their lives. There are many things we can do to make a difference. One final story from Elisha's life. We skip into chapter 5. This happens to be one of my very favorite Bible stories of all times. Naaman was an important, powerful man in Aram. But this man suffered horribly from the dreaded disease of leprosy. It happens that a servant girl lived in Naaman's home from Israel. And she mentioned that there was a prophet in her homeland named Elisha. And that if Naaman would go visit this prophet, he could surely be helped with his disease. Naaman then went to Elisha and eventually followed Elisha's plan for healing by dipping himself in the Jordan River. And when the man came up after the seventh dip in the Jordan River, his flesh was miraculously restored and he was healed. Thanks to a few words from this young girl and the mighty hand of God, this man found healing. Friends, let us never underestimate the value, the helpfulness of our words. And certainly let's never underestimate what God can do when we call upon Him. People's greatest personal needs can be met so that God receives the glory. Ask yourselves, I ask myself, who do I know that needs healing? Who do I know that's in need of God's help with addiction or a family struggle or a financial burden or loneliness or something like that? It's time for us to step up. It's time for us to be like Elisha and watch God go to work alongside us or us alongside Him and make a difference. Those of you who are a little bit older probably remember that famous commercial where the little girl with beaming eyes and joy in her voice said, "It's shake and bake, and I helped." When we, like Elisha, focus on what matters to other people, then we can be much like that little girl and beam with satisfaction that we helped make a difference. Making a difference requires preparation. It requires implementation. And it also then requires emulation. That's just a fancy word that means imitation or following the example of another. And so as we emulate the process of Elisha and decide that we want to make a difference, how can we do this? The first thing we need to do is to pray. We need to pray that God will give us the heart, that God will give us the words, that God will give us the time, that God will give us the opportunities to make a difference. And if that is our sincere prayer, I'm convinced God will do that. He will answer that prayer. God, help me be a person that makes a difference. The second thing we need to do to emulate another is to commit to this lifestyle, this goal of making a difference in people's lives. We need to be dedicated to the idea of making a difference. We need to be making a difference a high priority in our lives. Then thirdly, we need to respond. We need to respond as we just sang about being salt and light and leaven. That is, we respond as people that make an impact, have an influence, offer a touch, do something to help meet the needs and make a difference where it's needed. And the last thing we need to do in this process is to expand. And by that I mean we need to enlarge our vision. Instead of just looking at me and what I need or what I want, we need to drastically shift our focus, look for and find the needs of others. Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Paul tells us that we should think less of ourselves and more of others. We need to expand our field of vision, seeing where we can make a difference. As we at Ogleville Christian Church and Christians all over the world decide we're going to do this, I say, watch out, world. Watch out, world. Boom! Remember Smarty saying, Jesus bringing his followers back after they'd been out two by two. Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like the lightning out of the sky. Friends, we can make a difference and we can see Satan falling out of the sky. It's what we signed up for. And I'm convinced that it's truly as easy as pie. Preparation, implementation, emulation. We were made to make a difference. We can make a difference.